Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, April 10th. Hope you'll enjoy the songs and then the message. All right, we are going back again to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. We're preaching on what we've called assured success. You know this great verse, most of you could quote it. I've quoted it previously on the program. I'm not going to quote it again today. But we know this verse very well. God has made us a great promise that all things work together for good, and we're going to believe that promise. Well, I started out the program. This is the third part of it. But on the first day, we were talking about the fact that this is not a new doctrine, but rather it's been being taught throughout the book of Romans primarily, but through the whole Bible. And then in our second sermon or second day of this sermon, we looked at the fact that this speaks to our afflictions. It assures success. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities by giving us this promise. Now today is the third day of this sermon, and I'm going to look at three particular points in today's program and just start on the third one. We're going to notice the course. He says all things work together. That is the course that the saved are on. And then he talks about the character, them that are called according to his purpose. Them that love God. That's the first one. Them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. So the character is them that love God, and the characteristic, third one, are who are called according to his purpose. So we're going to look at these thoughts on today's program, and I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. We're going to be turning to Romans chapter number 8 and just reading one verse this morning, Romans chapter number 8. And we're reading only verse number 28. 28, you probably could quote it, more than likely could, but I want us all to read it together. When we do responsive reading, I do the first and you come in on the second. On this one, we'll just all read. We're reading one verse. Verse number 28, here's what the Bible says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's read that together again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, I'm preaching on this thought. I know you know Romans 8:28, and we're going through this verse by verse. So last week we just did two verses. I like to cover several at a time if possible. Last week we just dealt with the two verses 26 and 27. And today I'm going to try to just stay with verse number 28. Probably won't be a long message because it's a simple thought, although it is a profound thought, that all things work together. All of them work together for good. Amen. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I've titled my message this morning, Assured Success.
Now, having read our text, we're going to pull a little bit of yesterday's program back and then continue on with the new part of the sermon.
Amen. But preacher, I've got all these lies of the devil and lies of the world and even lies in my own mind that plague me and worry me. Yeah, but you've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside and the promises of God the Father and the Word of God in your lap or even in your hand, amen, or even in your heart. You've got the Word of God. You've got all these things for you. How can all these things not work together for good to them that love God? How can they not? When we've got God as our Father, amen, Spirit of God living, when we've got the fact that there is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. We've got hell is never in my future. I've been on the street preaching in North Carolina and people rise up and say, you ought to go, you know what? And I say, praise God, I can't go there. Amen, I've been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ and it is impossible for me to go to hell. It's impossible. Now the devil will rise up and say, well, now you made a false profession. You got it wrong. You didn't say the right words. You didn't do the right thing. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm not banking on what I did. I'm banking on what he did. Amen. And entrusted in what he did. I know there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are or which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now I've got some evidence of that because I walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. So I've got the promise and I've got the proof. Right? How could these things not work together for good to them that love God? Amen. He tells us that even these afflictions and these present sufferings work together for good. I've said it before. I love the way God wrote our Bible. I'm glad our Bible's not written like a textbook, like a science textbook. You got this plus this equals that, or a mathematical textbook. I'm glad our Bible's written as a storybook, to be honest with you. He doesn't tell us, well, this is how faith works. He says, this is how it worked for Abraham. And this is how it worked for Abel. And this is how it worked for Enoch. And this is how it worked for Noah. And this is how it worked for Joseph. And this is how it worked for Daniel. And this is how it worked Logan. And this is how it worked for Melissa. And this is how it worked for you. Amen. That's what he's saying. He's laying all these things out and he's saying all these blessings. You've seen it not just in a word, not just in a promise, not just in a textbook. You've seen it lived out in lives of individuals. Amen. Let me just take one. Joseph had those dreams that didn't turn into a nightmare, but looked like it did. He told it to his brethren and they hated him for it. He told it to his daddy and his daddy sort of reproved him over it. Yeah. And then you know how it happened? They took him and threw him in a pit. Was going to kill him. Decided they wasn't going to kill him. You know, what good we get out of that? Let's at least make some money off of him. He's worth something to us. And so they sold him off and they took him down there into Egypt. And you know the whole story. I mean, he had it bad. He's a slave. He's not king. They're not bowing down to him. He's a slave. He's crying out for them to help him, for them to let him out of the cave or out of the hole in the ground, the pit. He's crying out to them, but they're not listening. Then he gets sold to Egypt. He can't even cry out to his brethren. He can't even hope for help from his brethren. How are these things working together for good? Well, you can see it. It moves along. I mean, it don't look like it at the moment, but as you move along the story, you know that Potiphar's wife lies on him. By the way, he takes a good strong stand and says, I am not lying with her. I am not going to sin against God. Amen. By the way, you can say no to the flesh. You can say no to temptation. You can. Amen. He said, I'm not going to do it. He took a strong stand, but it didn't look like it paid off. Looked like it went the wrong way. She lied on him. He wound up in prison. He goes in there and helps some men out, but they forget him. Yeah. But the time it's all wound around. And Jacob said it the other day, and I believe he's right. If Joseph had answered the baker and the butler about that dream, if he'd answered them like he answered Pharaoh, he might have been ready to got out of that prison before those 2 full years rolled around. Because instead of saying, tell me, he said, God will tell you what that dream is. That's what he said to Pharaoh. He told that baker and that butler, tell me your dream. Tell me your dream. I'll tell you. I'll give you the answer. But when he got over there to Pharaoh, he wasn't so bold in himself. He was saying, God will do it. God will do it. And God will get the glory. Amen. But you look at all of that and all those things work together for good. You say, yeah, but preacher, that's just one person. And God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. If he'd do it for Joseph, he'd do it for any one of us. Yeah. And he said here, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is a truth that we know. When I preach that, it's not just I hope that's true. If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, the Holy Spirit said amen to the truth. When you heard that, you said, boy, that is a good promise. That's not a promise of the preacher. That's not a promise of the church. That's a promise from God. It's not a truth we hope. It's a truth we know. Amen. Now, I said the world don't know this. As far as the world can be concerned, nothing works together for good. As far as the world's concerned, everything's a mutation that's headed in the wrong direction. The whole world's headed for extinction. Yeah. The whole world is. I mean, I ain't got time to chase this rabbit, but let me just throw it out there. This whole thing about, man, human beings are going to have to save the planet, but we got too many human beings. We're going to cut down on a bunch of them. Look to me like if human beings had the ability to save the planet, you'd want more of them. But I'm going to tell you why they don't want more of them, because they don't see these things working together for good. Right. Just looks like everything's going bad and going to just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And especially in the life of a believer, to them, well, I mean, they was drinking too much when they was drinking, but when they got saved, boy, they really went off a deep end. He just went from bad to worse. When they was out living in the world, boy, we didn't like it. Them cheating on our sister and them doing all these things and them causing all this trouble and busting up our family reunions and causing, we didn't like it, but now we really don't like it because they're preaching to us. Going from bad to worse. They don't see these things working together for good. But we know that they are. That's what he said. We know that all things work together. Amen. From the perspective of the world, it appears that Christians just live by a bunch of rules and regulations that zap and sap all the funness out of life. Amen. They think they take all the fun out of life. They can't live a life of enjoyment. They can't do what they want to do. But the Christian has inside information. We know that all these things are working together for good. We know, listen to me now, I'm going somewhere with this. All these things work together for good. I mean, going to church on Sunday works together for good. Putting money, taking good, hard-earned money, putting it in the offering plate, works together for good. Amen. Reading your Bible works together for good. Dressing right works together for good. Giving praise to the Lord works together for good. Amen. All that works together for good. We see that because we've got inside information. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Amen. He informs us that all these things are working together for good. He knows the mind of the Spirit. That's what he said. He's telling us, listen, God's not making a mistake right here. God's, all this is in God's plan, and God is able to work all this out for his glory and for our good. Amen. Now, the unbeliever doubts that. The ungodly denies that. But the believer knows it. That's what he said. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, all things working together for good is the course. You might write that word down. I don't have point one, two, and three, but this is the course of life for the child of God. This working together for good. But the next phrase, them that love God, that's the character of the child of God. The course is that all these things are working together for good. But the character is that we love God. All through this, you can't separate these verses from these words from these verses. A lot of people try to. They try to take out that, for example, there is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. And they say, but now we don't need to say who walk not after the flesh, because that sounds like it's works. I don't care what it sounds like, it's the Word of God. Amen. And the only reason why it sounds like it's adding works is because people have that preconceived notion that it might be adding works. It's not adding works. It's saying works will be added when you get saved. Amen. So anyway, so here, these people that it's working out for, they love God. Amen. It's not saying, now, if you love God, all things work together. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying all these things work together. Because you do. If you're saved by the grace of God, you love God. You don't love the world anymore. You don't love sin anymore. And this whole crowd that says, I love Jesus, but I still love the world. They're liars. You can't love them both. No man can serve two masters. The course of life is that all these things, I'm talking about life for the child of God, is that all these things work together for good. The character of the child of God is that they love God. When we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the Holy Spirit did? He shed abroad the love of God in our heart. That's what the Bible said. Now that means that we loved God and we loved others. I believe that the child of God has fallen eternally in love with God. Amen. They've fallen eternally in love with God. Now, here's another. This text is another argument for why we ought to yield to the sanctifying effect of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not just given us to give us assurance. It was given for that. But it was also to guide us into all truth. Amen. It's not just so you can say, hallelujah, I'm saved, now what I do. No, he tells you what to do from there. Next steps to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have to yield to that work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even when we fail to live up to the perfection that we aspire to, we hate the sin that contaminates us. Amen. When we make a mistake, we get angry at ourselves for making that mistake. Amen. We don't get mad at God and say, well, God, you made me do it. We don't get mad at Adam and say, well, Adam, you made me do it. We don't even get mad at our friend, my friends made me do it. No, we get mad at ourselves because we know we're the ones that failed. Amen. We hate the sin that contaminates us. But listen, here, the opposite of hate is love. We don't love the sin that contaminates us. We hate the sin that contaminates us. But we still love God and we seek to please Him. Can you remember when you started maturing a little bit? When you was a child, little children need spankings. Amen. I think every child needs a spanking. Probably every day. Some more than others. Amen. But there comes a time they ought to outgrow that. And when you mature a little bit, you get beyond just serving daddy because you don't want to whip him. You fear him. No, you move on to the fact that you want to please him. That you want him to be proud of you. That you want to honor your dad. There's where the child of God ought to be. Amen. Not just serving God because we fear him, but serving God because we love him. That's how he wants us to live this Christian life that he's talking. By the way, that's where Joseph was. Joseph was away from all of his family. Any law that Joseph knew, he was away from that. He wasn't even in the promised land. He was in Egypt. Why wouldn't he lay with that woman? I'll tell you why. He didn't want to displease God. He said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? We can have that desire within us to please our Heavenly Father. So even when we make mistakes, we hate the sin that contaminates us, but we love our God and we long to please Him. That phrase, all right, let me go back and hit these points again. I said that all these things work together for good. That's the course of the Christian life. Those who love God, that's the character of the Christian life. This characteristic of the Christian life is who are called according to His purpose. It's a characteristic, not just the character. This, you can see this in the child of God. In other words, these are the people that have been brought to a better understanding of the things of God. Amen. We have been brought to a place that we actually believe God. We believed His promise. We believed that John 3:16 was real. Amen. We believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We believed that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We believed that. We didn't just believe that was good for some people. We believed that was good for whoever would. Right? That's where you got to get saved. All right, you get to that point, then we ought to also be able to believe Romans 8:28. Amen. We ought to also be able to believe that all these things, even though they don't look good, they're going to work together for good to them that love God and are called together according to His purpose. Amen. So, we've been called according to His purpose. We have heard the call. How do you get called according to His purpose? Well, the Word of God's preached and the Spirit of God sends out the call. Amen. Sometimes He uses an individual. Maybe it's somebody knocking on your door. Maybe it's somebody loving you enough to talk to you at a family get-together. Just tell you about what God did for them. And God sends out the call. Amen. That call according to His purpose.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. And I would like to invite you to come and be with us tonight for our midweek prayer service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We'll be meeting here, Lord willing, tonight for that. We'll have special time of prayer around the altar, special time of prayer requests taken from the pulpit, and then we'll have preaching from the Word of God as well as some good singing together, congregational and perhaps special. Love to have you come and be with us for that service tonight at 7 p.m. We are easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road here in Madisonville, Kentucky.
Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.